Matthew chapter 5. I'll read one verse there in chapter 5. Verse number 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Read that again. And the word blessed means happy and contented and satisfied. You know, synonymous words. Means all that. Amen. Blessed are they. Happy, contented, satisfied. Amen. Enjoying this salvation. I choose this way. I like that song. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Not maybe, not might, not could be, not possibility, but they shall be. Amen. You can't get any more positive than that. Amen. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Verse number 37 through 39. Familiar portion. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, Jesus didn't just stand up and unemotionally declare these words. But when the Bible said that Jesus cried, he stood up and he cried. It shows the impact behind these words. It shows the desire of the Lord to fill folks. Amen. To minister to them, to help them. And so he cried out and said, amen, in that last day, the great day of the feast, and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But it was coming. It was coming. It was coming. Amen. In Luke chapter 16, now you're going to wonder, how in the world that this text can balance with these other two. But I think you'll see. Luke chapter 16, verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at the gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Not one. That word is plural there. Torments. Amen. And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Dear loving God, in Jesus' name, will you hide us behind Calvary tonight one more time, Lord? Just anoint our feeble lips of clay. And Lord, let us please preach this message with a burden. Will you break our hearts with the Holy Ghost to preach this message? For Lord, sitting under the sound of my voice, there's somebody here tonight that needs God. Lord, there's others that need to be encouraged. There's others that need to make commitments. Will you just help me, Lord, to preach in such a way that the power and the anointing of God could rest upon me, that Jesus could be exalted and glorified, and Lord, that souls might find help that they need, and we'll praise you and thank you for it in the wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Isaiah in chapter 12, verse 3 said, "Therefore, with joy shall ye draw waters out of the wells of salvation." The Bible is full of wells and rivers and springs, amen, declaring unto us God's willingness to quench our thirst spiritually, showing us God is not only willing, but God has an abundant supply. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to preach for a little while tonight, and I'll take my text from this 24th verse. "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." I'd like to preach if the Lord will help me tonight for a little while. Amen. On this text and this thought. Amen. Drink now, for there's a land where there is no water. Drink now, for there's a land where there is no water. We don't grasp that. We don't understand that. We can't get a hold of that. Amen. It doesn't stir us like it ought to. But whether we grasp it or understand it or not, there's a day coming, children, when all them whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will find themselves in that land where there is no water. Not one drop. Not one drop. No water. Amen. Don't you think, in the light of that, that when the invitation is given, amen, by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and various places by the Spirit, amen, that we ought to just drink, amen, drink and drink and drink, lest we go to that land where there is no water. Praise God. Help me preach a little while. I mean, I got a burden tonight. I hope I can preach without crying, but I got such a burden tonight. Oh, God, help me. I can't even read my scriptures for crying. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I think by Jesus describing wells, wells of salvation, rivers of living water, and springs that spring it up unto everlasting life. I think by using this terminology that God's Holy Ghost, amen, is speaking to our hearts as He anointed those men of old to write these words, trying to make us to understand and realize, amen, how important that it is to find God in our lives before we go to that land where there is no water. Amen. God tells us and lets us know there's plenty of water to drink. Yet folks are satisfied, amen, with just a little sip, amen, when they could drink from this never-ending supply. That always amazes me, Brother Jimmy, how folks that are just set and be satisfied, amen, when God says to drink. Have you ever been real thirsty? I mean real thirsty. I mean, were that you had worked and labored and maybe been out in the field or somewhere where there wasn't any water. Amen. And finally you made it to the house. Amen. And you let that bucket down in that well. And you heard it gurgle. Amen. As it filled up to the brim. And you drawed that water out of that well. Amen. You couldn't hardly wait to get a drink. You were so thirsty. Well, it hadn't been but just a few hours until you drank your fill. But here you was thirsty again. All in the same day. Can you imagine going to that land? Amen. Where there's torments. Where the worm dieth not. Where the fire is not quenched. Amen. And day after day, year after year, millennium after millennium, amen, it's still not one drop of water. Not one drop of water. Amen, and still you're thirsty. Oh, if I was here tonight and I hadn't drank of this water that said would be a springing well, springing up unto everlasting life, I believe I'd make my way to this altar tonight and get me a good drink, lest I go to the land where there is no water. Oh, my. Folks are just satisfied with a sip, and God says drink. You know what it means to compromise? You know what it means to compromise? It means to accept something short of the goal. Amen. Look what God's got available for us. Look what God's got laid out for us. And to accept something short of that is to compromise. Amen. Oh, we don't need to just sip around. Amen. In this water that God provides. But we need to get down to business and begin to drink. Did you know if the devil can't get you to compromise with the world, that he'll work on us to accept something short of complete commitment and dedication? Yes, he will. If he can't get you to compromise with the world, then he'll work on you to try to get you to accept something short of what God's got for you. Amen. And he'll try to rock you to sleep. Amen. With religion. Amen. And cause you to be cold and indifferent in your heart. Amen. He'll do his best to cause you to come up short of what God wants for your life. Yes, he will. That's his business. Do you know what sanctification is? Now, you could preach months and months and months on sanctification, but I'm talking about just a little short Arkansas definition of sanctification. It means to be separated from the world and be dedicated to God. Amen? We got a lot of folks today, they've accepted something short of the goal. They'll separate from the world, they'll come out from the world, but they'll never find themselves wholly committing themselves unto God Almighty. And sanctification, if there's not commitment, is not complete. Amen. God wants us to complete the work. Amen. And that work completed will be when you separate yourself from the world and totally, wholly, without reservation, surrender yourself unto God Almighty to accomplish His will in your life in this world. Amen. Praise God. A lot of folks, God said you could have a river. A lot of folks just satisfied with just a branch. Yeah. God said it could be like rivers of living water flowing out of you. And a lot of folks are just satisfied with a little branch. just a trickling of water when they could have a gushing river. Amen? I remember when I was just a boy, I was, I don't know, 10, 11 years old. Somewhere in that area, we lived about 3.5-4 miles out of town, out in the country. There was a little store in a little settlement there that's called Montreal. I don't know where they got that name. Never did find out. But there was a little store there, and it was about a mile and a quarter, mile and a half from our house. And sometime Mama would send me to the store down there. And you folks know, you're close enough to Kentucky and around, you know what strip pits are, where they strip coal. Well, back in them days, they didn't have to correct them, you know, and refill them and replenish them. Back those days, they just stripped it out and left them. And on the way to the store, there was a little strip pit there. It was just a small one, and they just hadn't done much with it. A lot of those things, you know, were 60, 70, 80 foot deep. But this one, I don't know what the deal was, but anyway, I can't remember. But they had dug at the side of the road there, but the bank where they had dug the dirt out hid you from the road. And that little strip pit there was, oh, I don't know, it was probably maybe 100 foot long and maybe 30 foot wide. And the deepest part of that was about waist deep. And about half of it was just maybe, you know, 1.5 foot, 2 foot deep. And Mom would send me to the store, and I'd stop by that little strip pit. Amen. I wasn't like the little boy this morning that didn't carry my bathing suit, because we just barely was able to have a pair of overalls, let alone a bathing suit. But I used my birthday suit. Amen. I had one of them. And I'd slip off the road behind the dirt pile, and I'd go into the water. And oh, I have myself a time. I'd get out there in that little old strip pit, and I'd begin to swim. I mean, I called it swimming. Like some of you call it going to church. Like some of you call it being a Christian. Amen. I called it swimming. Amen. And I'd get out and I'd kick my feet, but I always kept my hands on the bottom. We called it mud crawling at home. Amen. Now, the little swimming hole there, we call that the crawdad hole, because it was muddy. Amen. You stirred it up, the mud was about that deep, and it was so muddy, thick muddy. My, I thought I was swimming. I thought I was having myself a time, and all the time, I just mud crawling around in the old mud, and the more I crawl, the muddier it gets. But you know, one day when I was about 13, I was down at the big boy's swimming hole in the creek. Amen? And they had a swing out over the creek. And they had a big, about 15, 20 foot up in the tree, had a big pole laying across two trees. Amen? And positioned in there. And I'd stand with a fishing pole with a hook on it, and I'd catch the swing for the big boys. Amen. I couldn't swim yet. I was still a mud crawling. And one day I was catching the swing, and I got overbalanced, and the swing drug me off into that good, cool, clear creek water. You know what I done? I swam out of there, and I've been a swimming ever since. Did you know if you would get in, amen, just in these few nights, and get up here to this altar and get you a good drink, amen, of this living water, amen, and make a good commitment of your soul to God, you know you would enjoy yourself so much. Amen. You quit mud crawling and you could go to swimming. Amen. My. Praise God. You know, God never has accepted excuses. Never has. You'll not find it in the Bible where God accepted excuses. One fellow said an excuse is the skin of a reason stretched over a lie. Whew. That's pretty tough. Amen?
Excuse me.
Amen? God has never accepted excuses. Adam, where art thou? Lord, I'm hid in the garden. I was naked. And I heard your voice. And I ran and hid. Amen. Why, Adam, have you partook of the forbidden fruit? Lord, that woman that you gave me, she gave it to me and I ate. There's still a curse. You still have to earn your living by the sweat of your brow. Thorns and thistles still grow. Sin, sickness, and disease are rampant everywhere. The curse is active and working today. God did not accept his excuse. Amen. No, he didn't. Now, I'm not going to cover a bunch of them, just a few. Moses said, God. God spoke to him out of that burning bush and said, God, you know I can't go. I can't even talk proper. God didn't accept that. God sent him anyhow. Amen. He went anyhow. God gave him a spokesman to go with him. Amen. But he had to go. Amen. And I look and I think about Aaron. You know, Aaron was the high priest. Been appointed as a high priest for the children of God. And when Moses went up into the mountain and was there 40 days and 40 nights, and the children of Israel got wearied and began to fret, and they came to Aaron, you know, and they said, make us gods. Moses came back and he heard the commotion and came back into the camp. And he asked Aaron, why did you do this? And Aaron said, the people. And said, all I've done was just took what they brought me and throwed it into the fire and out walked a calf. What a lie. What an excuse. God didn't accept that. God will not accept, amen, excuses. Amen, your excuses will never hold water with God. God commands full allegiance or none. God says if you lose your life for my sake, you'll gain it. But if you gain your life in this world, you're going to lose it. Help me preach a little while now. Some of you is kind of stirred up a little bit now. I'm getting down where you're living. You're nervous. Amen. I'm getting right down where you are. You're nervous. Amen. Because you've just been kind of fooling around with God. You're just going to be kind of playing around with your salvation. And amen. You know you ain't right tonight. Amen. I know you told yourself you are. But hey, God knows what you got under the rug. God knows what you got in the closet. God knows what you got hidden to the eyes of others. God knows what's in your heart. And you're not fooling God. Did you know God don't accept the excuse of old age? God said, bear fruit in old age. Do you know what Jesus done? Amen. When he walked into the city out of Bethel that morning and into the city there and saw that fig tree with leaves on it. And he went to that fig tree and he looked in that tree behind those leaves and there was no fruit there. The Bible said Jesus cursed it. And it withered from its roots because, brother, God demands fruit-bearing Christians, amen, that'll be committed and dedicated and surrendered, that'll get in and drink from this well and drink from this river and drink from this spring and water and be what God wants them to be. I wish some of you spiritual folks would shout a little bit. Woo. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John chapter 4. One of my favorite stories in the Gospels. Oh, what a wonderful story of God's marvelous grace. A woman whose life was a shambles, who was wrecked. I mean, her life was wrecked. Dear God, what a terrible tragedy. I mean, everywhere she had went and everything she had tried had backfired on her and turned against her and left her in shambles. When she found Jesus that day sitting on Jacob's well outside the little city of Sychar in Samaria, amen, she found the pearl of great price. You don't know what you're giving up this evening. You don't know what God wants to do for you. If you just knew, He told this woman, if you knew who was speaking to you, you would ask of me and I'd give you a drink. Did you know the Holy Ghost is here tonight? And He's walking up and down these aisles. He's walking in and out of them pews where you're sitting. And He's speaking to your heart. And He's saying, come on now, drink. Come on, drink. Come on, drink. Oh, I wish I could force feed you. I wish I could do you like a little baby and just come up to you and turn it up and put it in your mouth and hold your nose and you'd swallow. But I can't do that. The invitation is given. But you've got to respond. Oh, if thou just knew what's available for you. Amen. You would have asked of me and I'd have given you water to drink. Amen. The conversation went on. Jesus said in verse 14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now when you read the context of this and you read the essence of this, this is not giving you a dose of eternal security. But what He's saying is, I'm making myself available to you. Amen. I'm that well. I'm that living water. And you can not only get a drink that'll produce salvation, but you can get a drink. Amen. And another drink. And another drink. And another drink. And you can keep going back to the well of grace. Amen. Until you drink, drink, drink. Until you're satisfied. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel has a vision. He sees the water ushering out from the throne of God on the east side. The water issues out of there and it flows down. And then a man appears there with a measuring rod of 1,000 cubits. And he measures 1,000 and he takes Ezekiel by the hand. Praise God. Woo! You know what I'm doing tonight? I'm reaching out a hand to you, my friend. I'm reaching out a hand to you. Did you know Ezekiel didn't have to go with that man? But Ezekiel responded. I don't believe that angel forced him to go. I believe that angel gave him invitation and he took him by the hand. And he led him 1,000 cubits and it was ankle deep. He led him another 1,000 and it was to the knee. And he led him another 1,000 and it was to the loin. And he led him another 1,000 And it was rivers to swim in that could not be crossed over. There's more of God than you could ever get. There's more of God available than you'll get 10 billion years into eternity. You'll still be learning more and more and more about God. Wherever that river run, there was healing in it. Yeah. It healed the waters that it run into. It brought forth fish in abundance. It was healing water. It was healing water. Hey, amen. I'm telling you, children, drink now. For there's a land where there is no water. Amen. I won't be much longer. In Isaiah chapter 44, I want to read a verse or two there. Isaiah 44 and verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourse. Oh, what a promise. Jesus said, come to me and drink. Amen. Come to me and drink. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Did you know that if folks are not thirsty, they won't drink? I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. If folks are not thirsty, they will not drink. Amen. Very few people just drink because they know they need to drink some water. Most folks only drink when they're thirsty. And if you're not thirsty, you won't drink. Though there's an abundant supply, and though God gives you an invitation, you won't drink if you're not thirsty. Amen. Did you know that it takes water to make things grow? Nothing grows without water. Amen. It'll die. It'll shrivel up. It'll die. You got to have water to make things grow. Do you know that's why we have an altar in the church? That you keep coming back and drinking and drinking. You know why? So you can grow. So you can grow and be what God wants you to be. Don't ever. Oh, it hurts me. I'm a pastor at heart, brother. I've been a pastor for 25 years, and I'm a pastor at heart. And it hurts me when I see folks at the time of the altar. And I know that times that folks have to go to work, and there's things that cause some things. I understand that. But I've saw folks time and time again that when the opportunity was given to find the altar, they got up, slipped out the back, went on their way. They wasn't drinking, but then they wasn't growing either. If you don't drink, you won't grow. And it won't be long till you'll die if you don't drink. Amen. It takes water to produce life, and if you don't drink now, there's a land where there is no water. Not one drop. Not one drop. Let me read you a scripture. I'm coming down to a close. Found in the book of Revelation, very last chapter, verse 17. This is what he said. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Oh, that's an invitation, children. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Could I give you a drink tonight? It's so good.
Could I give you a drink tonight? Could I give you a drink tonight? Would you please come and get a good drink tonight? This water's wonderful. It's cool and cold. Makes your throat feel good. There's water for you tonight. Would you please come and drink? For you see, there's a land where there is no water. Let's have a little auction here. I've just got one drop. What's it worth? We're in hell now and we're going to have an auction. How much is it worth? What will you give, my friend, for one drop? Look at it hang on that finger. Just one drop. What will you give if a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What will you give in exchange for your soul? One drop. A land where there's none. If I could have an auction in hell, I would have all the money of the rich men that have went there. All their accumulations, if there was possible for them to give them to me. If I had one drop of water in hell, every one of them would give me everything they've got. Everything they had, rather. Brother Jimmy, for one drop. What'll you do? Will you not drink in this life? Will you refuse to drink while water's available? While the invitation is given? While there's an abundant supply? Will you refuse to drink and then go to that land yonder where there is no water? I got plenty of time. No, you don't. You just got right now. You might die. You might die before you leave this building tonight. Or you might die on your way home. You might have a heart attack. You might think there's nothing wrong with you and you're young. Amen. And you might wake up in the morning with stomach cramps. And you might have cancer that's already partook of your body. And there ain't nothing they can do. You say, that's fearful, Brother Kay. I know. I don't want to be fearful. I want folks to have faith in God and believe God. But hey, children, anything is worth getting somebody to drink rather than going to hell where there is no water. Would you stand with me? Would the musicians, maybe the singers, maybe they'd get me something to sing and musicians would come around. My heart tonight is reaching out for you. Oh, I wished I could make the choice for you. I wished I could walk this aisle for you and kneel at this altar. I wished I could, but I can't. My children, would you pray now with all your heart? And would you beg God to save tonight? Would you beg God in Jesus' name to save somebody tonight? Father, in the name of Jesus right now, oh God, would you stretch your hand out, Lord, in mercy? Would you speak to that heart, Lord, right now? The invitation, Lord, would you give it to them personally? Would you help them, Lord, to come and drink of the water of life freely?
Help, Lord. Help, Lord.
While they sing and the saints pray, go ahead and sing, children. If you're here, maybe you're lost without God, never been saved. You'd like to come to this altar and pray. It's open. Maybe you're here and you've just been playing church. You've been trifling on God. You've been messing around. You're not where you ought to be with God. This altar's open for you tonight. For you see, you need to drink. You need to drink. Maybe you need the Holy Ghost tonight. This altar's open to you. It's early. I haven't preached long. We've got time. While they play and sing, would you come? Would you come?